Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in and supporting the Women Are Worthy radio show and also our social media. My name is Jacqueline Charles, and I'm the host of the show. I created this platform to shine a light on the communities in our area. We have amazing people that are doing wonderful things that we rarely hear about them. So this is the platform that we're using to amplify their voices. We are available for bookings, for moderating panel events, motivational speaking, and health and wellness. Also, relationship and marriage seminars. The booking information, let me give you the email address, is womenareworthy@att.net. To contact us via phone, it's 770-480-2269. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and our handle is Women Are Worthy Radio, Women, plural, Are Worthy Radio. On Twitter, we are Women_Are_Worthy. Tonight, we have a great guest, but before I start off with the guest, I'd like to give you some statistics that's provided by the breastcancer.org. Family, according to breastcancer.org 2016 statistics, about 1 in 8 U.S. women, that's 12% guys, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. In 2016, an estimated of 246,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in women in the United States, along with 61,000 new cases of non-invasive breast cancer. Again, this statistic, the fact that I just gave, was provided by the breastcancer.org. We have the pleasure of having Ms. Chantel Nixon-Clark. She's the creator of Pink Angels Foundation. Chantel gave birth to the foundation after her doctor whispered her diagnosis that she has breast cancer. Chantel's on the show, on the Women Are Worthy show, and she's going to share her journey. Hello, Chantel. How are you?
Hello, Jacqueline. How are you?
Honey, I'm fabulous now that you're here. I am just fabulous.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Chantel, the reason I really wanted you on the show, because after we had a conversation, I am now volunteering with a group, a cancer outreach center that we have in Marietta, Georgia. It's called Loving Arms. And because of that, I now can understand someone who's going through breast cancer and their diagnosis. Chantel, I just stated some statistics. I just provided some statistics from the breastcancer.org. What do you think about that?
It's pretty alarming.
U.S. women.
Absolutely. It's pretty alarming. And, you know, as we stated before, I am now a six-year survivor. And it seems, you know, those statistics were the same 6 years ago. And to me now, it seems as if it's almost like 1 in 4, 1 in 6, because you're hearing it just way too often.
Chantel, you're not your diagnosis. So with that said, who is Chantel Nixon Clark?
Well, I am the founder and CEO of the Pink Angels Foundation. And prior to that, I lost my mom and aunt to breast cancer. And so I was at the height of my career, just getting ready to turn 32 years old, and had a daughter that was a year and a half. And I, through self-examination, I found a lump. And I thought this whole time that breast cancer was an older woman's disease. And so I just knew it just couldn't be right. It was just no way. So I had time, you know, I wasn't a 40 years old, 45 years old, and I knew that I had time, you know. And so I went into the doctor, and he said, oh, no, we're not going to worry about anything. And mind you, I had been getting mammograms due to the strong hereditary history since I was 21 years old. And my doctor said, well, you know, everything is fine. Don't worry. So, you know, we as women, we carry so many hats on our head and on our shoulders. We're a mom, we're a wife, we're just everything, best friends, sisters, aunt. We're everything to everyone. And so I showed up to the doctor's appointment by myself. And so the gentleman, the doctor said, are you by yourself? And I said, yes, yeah, I'm not coming to get any bad news. I wasn't expecting anything but a victorious outcome. And the doctor, like I said in my interview, he stated that he whispered and he said that you have breast cancer. And right then and there, I felt like I had just been given a death sentence. And so I just started thinking about, you know, going back to when I was 21 years old and fresh from losing my mom and how I felt when I lost my mom and having my daughter at the time, she was a year and a half, how she would not even grow up to experience different things. And, you know, she hadn't even been in the world, not even a good 2 years where I had 21 years with my mother. And so it was that moment that I knew that I had to fight for both my daughter and my husband. And so I just decided to pick up the pieces and do exactly what I needed to do in order to live for my family and live to be able to tell others that they can make it against this deadly disease.
You know, Chantel, you mentioned that through breast examination, you went through a mammogram, you had your mammogram, and through self-examination. We're going to talk about that for a bit because I have a friend and I keep telling her that she needs to do self-examinations and she's relying just on mammograms. Can you please explain to the listeners out there how important it is to also add self-examination to this?
Absolutely. And so, you know, if you're 40 years and under, it's really, really important that you do self-breast examinations. Our youngest Pink Angel was 18 years old. And so we have a Pink Angels pledge that we have on the 11th of every month. We send out text messages and we make phone calls to our loved ones, whether they're male or female, to do self-breast exams. And it's just something as simple as taking your three fingers and in a circular motion going around your breast area and also into the armpits. Now, I'm not a physician, nor do I pretend to be
right.
one, but that is
right.
one practice that I did and was successful in finding the lump that I had.
So, you know, I like that you said you're sending out that text because I definitely want to be added to your text. And you know what? Before we talk about Pink Angels, how can one get in touch with you should they want to get in touch with you?
Oh, absolutely. I can be reached via Facebook, and that's the Pink Angels Foundation, or on Instagram at Pink Angels with an S, STL. And then also we have a phone number, and that's 314-399-9125. And you can call in, and we normally try to return phone calls immediately because we know that there's a sense of urgency for any patient that will call in.
Oh, Chantel, I want to talk about the caregivers or the significant, your spouse or the significant other. Okay. So that we want to also help them to learn how to deal with this. Because, again, I've never had any form of cancer and no one really close to me. So, you know, now I'm with this support group. They're like my family. So I want to fully understand so I can be able to articulate or empathize when I'm talking to them. So, okay, you go into the doctor. He gives you the diagnosis that you have breast cancer. My question to you is, if you could change the way how providers, i.e. doctors, are telling the way or communicating or articulating that the patient has breast cancer, if you could change the process, what part of the process would you change?
The sense of urgency, you know, and when you hear those words that you have breast cancer or any type of cancer for that matter, you really tune out everything else after that. And so I just remember for me as a personal experience, I found out on a Friday that I had breast cancer. By the next Friday, I was having surgery, not really having time to process things or be able to kind of research or get a second opinion. You know, most of the cases now are very aggressive, and they are changing from anywhere from stage one to stage four within a matter of a couple of weeks. So that would be one process that I would change, is the sense of urgency and then also being readily available to answer more questions, because you don't know. You know, life does not prepare us to deal with you have breast cancer. Life does not prepare us when you feel as though you have been given a death sentence. You know, life does not prepare us for the fight that you are getting ready to endure. It just doesn't, there's no manual or anything out there to set the expectations of what's next. And so, and that's the whole purpose of the Pink Angels Foundation, is to try to minimize the fear of the unknown.
What advice would you give someone, Chantel, for how someone should tell their significant other, and how should the other person respond? Because so often I'm hearing, since I mentioned that you were going to be on the show, I've been getting emails from men talking about, well, my wife was just diagnosed, what do I do? So they're listening. So can you speak to that? What should they do?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, just, again, speaking from personal experiences, during my journey, you know, I had to really sit back and apologize to my husband, not really knowing and recognizing that although he doesn't have the physical diagnosis, but he was diagnosed with breast cancer as well. And so as men or any significant others, they just don't know what to do. You know, they are providers. They are fixers. They are the head of the household, per se, and they are the ones that take care of majority of all of our issues that go on within a household. And so with them being lost and unable to fix or to help the situation, they become just as hurt and just as lost. And so I had to recognize that, and, you know, my husband was dealing with those issues, and I was wondering, you know, why wasn't he here or fussing about, or he didn't fix my food right, or whatever the problem may have been at the time. But then I had to sit back and realize that we are partners to death do us part. And so in saying that, he doesn't know how to process that I can't help my wife, that there's a chance that I may lose my companion or the mother of my child. And so I had to really apologize to him, and we had to come together and grow and learn together and process it together, encourage one another. Although I was battling, but I still had to motivate him and speak encouraging words into him and let him know that I'm going to be okay. And then in return, he poured into me that you can do it, baby. I love you. He gave me that extra strength to make it and that extra will to live, knowing that he's right by my side. And so I would speak to all of the companions and all the significant others and wives and husbands and all of that is, although you may be scared, don't step back. You guys got to face this journey together. You know, it's not just one. It's everybody. It affects everybody from the spouses to your family to your girlfriends to everybody around you. Everybody is diagnosed. And so I invite you to learn, to educate, to practice being there for your loved one during such a difficult battle, because it's the strength in knowing that I have a solid foundation along with God's help and God's will on my life that I'm going to make it through this journey.
Wow. That was powerful. That's what I'm talking about. You have your faith, your spirituality, and you also wanted that solid foundation. Because so often, you know, we constantly hear about the person who was diagnosed, but we really don't hear about the caregiver. And the caregiver
Absolutely.
Is just as helpless as the person that's diagnosed because they don't know what to say. And here's another question. You know, you call your friends, I guess your close friends, and you tell them that you're diagnosed and this is your diagnosis. So often that's another set of people or people in your village that don't know how to react. They don't know if they should call you, what they should do. Can you speak to them? You speak to the girlfriends out there and the friends out there. How should we react? What should we do?
Well, and I oftentimes post an article that speaks directly to the girlfriend or to everybody involved, whether it's family members or whoever it may be. Oftentimes when women are diagnosed with breast cancer, people tend to disappear. And so you're faced with a challenge in front of you, and someone who you just knew 100% will be there is no longer there. So you kind of figure out, well, what did I do wrong? Or did I say something wrong? Or why doesn't this person call me? And then you find yourself getting upset. And, you know, when I thought that this person was going to be here and they weren't, I don't want to talk to them. And, you know, relationships totally change when one is diagnosed. And so this article that I consistently post, it talks about stepping up to the plate and that it's okay to be afraid. We all are. We all are afraid. We all in the same boat. It is a fear of the unknown of what's next. And so we encourage people not to take the back seat. We need a passenger right now. You know, I'm in the driver's seat. I need a passenger to roll with me. You know, you have your girlfriends to get in the car when something is wrong. Well, where are we going? Where are we rolling to? Without a doubt or a question in mind, they just know to roll with you. You talk on the way. And so that's what we need when we are going through breast cancer. You may not know what's going to happen, but I still need you in the passenger seat. And so we invite everybody.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I love what you said, because especially when you said roll it, it's almost like, okay, she's at Pookie's house, so you know what we got to do.
Right.
Let's bring the baseball
back.
Right. Let's do what we need to do. No question asked.
Right.
Come on, let's roll.
Right.
And that's what you want.
Right.
That's what you're saying that you want, you know, as a, wow, yeah,
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I thank God that I had such a solid foundation and some people that love me unconditionally. You know, we may have cried together, and we didn't know what was the next outcome, but they stood by my side, you know. And I thank God for each and every person that stood by me and encouraged me and strengthened me just with the little things.
memories. Someone was just diagnosed, and she's listening now on the show. She's listening on the show right now, and she's feeling that, as you mentioned, that it's a matter of life and death. So the minute you hear breast cancer or the word, the C word, as you know, otherwise known, it's a death sentence. Can you speak to her right now? That
I sure can.
In order to put her mind at ease, please.
Yes, I sure can. Right now, at this very moment, you know, God has positioned me to be in such a great position with being on this call. And every opportunity that I get, I don't take it lightly, because I know that there may be somebody out there that needs this encouraging word. And so to you, my pink angel, I'm not really sure what your diagnosis is, but with all of the pink angels that I have encountered, we try to pour back into each one of our angels and let them know that you can and will make it. You have to know that you know that if I give up, giving up is not even an option. It's not an option. It has never been an option. In no race, no shape, form, or fashion has giving up ever been an option. And so I would encourage you or invite you to start believing in your mind that you are going to make it. It starts within. It starts in knowing that I am a fighter. I refuse to give up on this race. And that once you make that decision and keep a positive mind and know and set goals that I will make it by this time next year, this test that I'm going through right now will only be a speck. Can you hear me? A speck in my rearview mirror. And I get chills, because when I was going through and I kept saying, why me, Lord? Why me? Why was I given this diagnosis at such an early age? And he said, why not? Why not? It's just a test of your faith. It's a test of your ability to get over this obstacle and knowing. That's just like a situation where if you didn't have money to pay your bills, you know in your mind that everything is going to work out. This is the same situation. This is the same situation. God, I always tell people that, you know, when I got diagnosed with breast cancer, I said God put my life on a pause button. He hit the pause button on my life because he had a work in me to do. He wanted me to do other things, and he wanted me to shift my focus in life and to do what was important, set aside from whatever else that didn't even matter. So allow God to work and do a work in you so that you can become victorious in the end. And I promise you, the Pink Angels Foundation will definitely see you at the finish line.
That was powerful. So, you know, caller, I hope you heard what she said. And, you know, because reading the email that was sent to me, that was definitely needed. And I really want to, now is the time, we have one of your supporters on the line. Callers with the last digit 6687, hello.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for calling in. Are you a supporter of Ms. Clark?
Not only that, I'm part of the Pink Angels Foundation, and I'm a survivor.
You are?
Yes,
a survivor.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for calling in. What do you have to say? You know, because, you know, I just love Chantel. I just love the past couple of days that I've talked to her. She's just a wonderful, beautiful spirit on the inside and out.
Yes.
What do you have to add to the Pink Angels? What does it mean to you, the Pink Angels?
Well, it means a lot. I lost my sister in 06, and when Chantel brought it up to me, it was like, wow, that would be awesome, because, you know, we never had anything. I never had anything like this happen. And so I lost my sister, and I was at a loss. I was with her. I was with her when she took her last breath. And so I never could get over that. And when Chantel birthed this, it was like I can honor my sister in so many ways. And so for that, I'm grateful. I'm so proud of Chantel, of what she has accomplished, and that she has never stopped putting God first in everything we do with this organization.
Chantel, are you hearing that?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I'm telling you, I have a great team of people that consistently push me to the next level. And I'm so honored and grateful because, you know, you pray for good people. You pray for people to be able to strengthen you and help out with you. And Stephanie does that. I always call there are three ladies that are my foundation. That's Stephanie, Doretha, and Charlene. And so those ladies, they really put things in perspective and keep me on my toes and encourage me and push me and pray for me, most importantly, and they pour back into me. When I'm empty, you know, sometimes this burden, it gets too heavy to bear, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I lost one of the most important women in my life. Once my mom passed away, she passed away from breast cancer, and I wanted to dedicate my interview this evening to Mrs. Diane Carey. And I never say that she lost the battle. That doesn't work for me. And I tell people that she gained the ultimate gift, and that's to be with God. And so you will never hear me say that somebody lost the battle. They don't ever lose the battle. They don't ever lose the battle because right now she's living better than we are, and she's living in peace. Although the selfishness of us want her to remain here, but in God's will, you know, we don't want our loved ones to suffer. And so right now she gained her wings, which is the ultimate reward.
And you know what? Her wings are pink, okay? She has pink
yes.
wings because she's part of the Pink Angels,
yes.
you know? So,
yes.
And, you know, I would definitely, I respect that. And I just, the more I talk to you, you know, because we've been doing pre-interviews, it's evident that this is your truth. So many people walk through life, I don't care where they're working, they don't know what journey, they don't know what path, they don't know their truth. And you mm-hmm. being diagnosed with breast cancer has found what your purpose is in life, and it's to help others and to give back. And I am so glad that you were obedient in doing that, because you're now, look at the lives you're impacting. You're impacting so
Absolutely.
Many people. Did you join a support group when you found out you had cancer?
I have such a large family. It's about 45 plus of us. And so, you know, in losing my mom, my grandparents raised us, and my father, stepfather, James Mann. And so that was my foundation. My grandparents instilled in us that we would still eat dinner together, and we would still pray together, and we would still encourage one another when we were going through. And so I took those lifelong lessons and started practicing them. And, you know, my family started praying over me and pouring back into me and being there for me. And that's what I did. But in the Pink Angels Foundation, that's one of the most important things, is to have a support group. That's really how the Pink Angels Foundation was birthed, because I can remember sitting in chemotherapy one Thursday or Tuesday, and I could see the women around the room. They were there alone, you know, and with my gospel music, you know, I knew that this was a battle that only God and I can get through. And so I would always tell my family, thank you for being there for me, but you know, this is my one-on-one time. Such a powerful statement. My intimacy time with God. And so he used those moments to implant the vision of the Pink Angels Foundation. And so I started to see women there that were by themselves, that didn't have a loved one, didn't have a support system, and so they were going through it by themselves. And so what better way to help somebody know and mm-hmm. instill in them or to add value back into one's life to continue this fight without being alone? And that's where the Pink Angels Foundation came from.
For those tuning in, we, you know, this is a, I'm just speechless just listening to you. We have Ms. Chantel Nixon Clark. And Chantel was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's sharing her journey with us. Because, again, I mentioned 1 in 8 U.S. American women will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. That's just utterly ridiculous. It's just too much. And you're right. The more every year when I do shows about breast cancer, it keeps going up. It's not going down. It's not going anywhere. So we have to be conscious on, you know, on how to fight this and how to support people, you know.
Absolutely.
So my question to you, Chantel, President Obama calls and he says, you know what, you're going to be the assistant to the Surgeon General. When it comes to healthcare, what two changes would you like to implement in healthcare? And he would then, if become law, what two changes would you like to implement and why?
Number one, my number one goal, and it's funny that you mentioned if the president calls, because I want to become more prevalent in the community nationwide. And one change that I would make immediately is the age requirement to get a mammogram. The age mm-hmm. requirement. I have so many ladies out here that call and say, well, Chantel, I'm having bleeding that's, you know, coming out of my breast area or discharge or this, but they're 31 years old. So guess what happened? They have to make an appointment, which is scheduled 3 to 4 weeks out, to go see a doctor, for them to schedule an appointment, to go see a specialist, to get a biopsy, to get a mammogram or ultrasound. And guess what? 2 to 6 months have gone by. So you may have gone from anywhere from stage one, where your issue may be 0.12 mass, to a stage four where it's life-threatening. So that would be one of the most important things to change, would be the age requirement, where we are allowing, if you know that cases are becoming more often in 18-year-olds or 21-year-olds or 25-year-olds, why can't it be readily available if they have symptoms? If they have symptoms, to be on the safe side, you know. And then another one would be the cost. I can remember that I was working at the time, and I was laid off. I was fired right at my 7th chemotherapy. And along with being fired, I lost all my insurance coverage. And so when I went in, the lady said, you have maxed out, so it really didn't even matter. This was prior to getting the chemotherapy. And she says, the insurance that you had, it really, I was paying almost $600 a month for insurance, and it had no value. My prescriptions alone was $1,500 a month. And then to walk in to an oncology office, and he says that your chemo itself is $17,000, Jacqueline. $17,000. So you know what I did? So when we left, he said, I'm sorry to inform you that we can't treat you. We can't treat you.
Wait. I have to interject. He said he couldn't treat you because you weren't able to pay because of your insurance. Is that basically what I'm hearing?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
All right, continue.
Yes, ma'am. The coverage that I had maxed out, I hadn't even used the insurance. Hadn't even used it. And so my husband took my hand. We walked out of that doctor's office, and we sat on the floor in the hallway, and we cried and we prayed. and we cried and we prayed and we cried because I knew that I was going to die if I didn't get this treatment. And so right, and a lady comes out the office and she says, Ms. Nixon Clark, we found a resource for you. She said, we've been trying to call you. We've been trying to call you ever since you left this office, and it just so happened that you walked out to take a break. And she said, thank God that you hadn't left the building. She said, here's a number to a resource. I want you to call them, and they will be able to help you. I walked into that resource, and thank God, they pay for everything, from my reconstruction to my chemotherapy to, I mean, everything, all of my surgeries. Without them, I would have been easily $500,000 in debt. So we have to do better.
God is good.
And make, yes, he is. Yes, he is. So those will be two things at the top of my list that I will be anxiously and praying right now, still pray every day that there's a change.
Chantel, why is it important, in your opinion, that women should support one another?
Because we don't have anybody else. We don't. We sing all these songs, like prior to the show coming on. I'm every woman, or I'm a survivor, but all of those women, if you look back at all of those ladies, they had a cheering section. They had a motivational team. They had women in their church that were praying for them. They had a praying grandmother. They had sisters that stuck with each other. They had everything. They had their children that were praying for them. And we can't live without each other. There's just no way. There's just no way we can do it without one another. So that's why it's important for your girlfriend to step up and be courageous in knowing that I'm going to stand by your side and not take a back seat. I'm going to roll with you every step of the way. We need each and every person that possibly can stand with this disease toe-to-toe, because the battle is not easy. I'm not saying that it's an easy road, because I will be lying to my angels if I told you that. But late in the midnight hour, I had readily available people that was able to take my call when I didn't think I was going to make it. But guess what their words were, let's pray. I got you. It's okay to cry, but we can't stay here. But weep and endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And so I need you to go ahead and weep. But in your weeping, I need you to prepare to dry your eyes, because we got a battle to fight together. And that's what I did.
Chantel, what has changed before and after your cancer diagnosis? What has changed you? What do you see you've grown or you've changed?
Oh, yeah. I would say that prior to that, I didn't know what my calling was. You know, I was very well off in a Fortune 500 company at the top, in management, and it wasn't fulfilling. And so when I got diagnosed, and I prayed to God, I said, "What do you want me to do? What lesson am I supposed to learn by getting diagnosed while I'm still on the pause button? Remember?" My life is on pause because everything is on hold. That year, you know, you're dealing with so much. You're not able to go and hang out as much as you can, and you're weak and you're sick, and you're going through your stomach hurt, and so you spend a lot of downtime. What was my purpose, God? That's what I asked. What is my purpose? And he said, you are going to help other women get through the same journey that you have already made it to. And so from that moment, we got laid off. They came in on a Wednesday. They said, you won't have a job as a Friday. Just that fast. And I said, okay, God, I'm trusting you. when I walk out these doors, I know that you have a path already set for me. And that's when, I believe a couple of weeks after that, I had my first annual Sing for My Life. And so Sing for My Life is an annual fundraising event that we have where we spotlight every survivor, every breast cancer survivor, and we do a tribute to them. And they're allowed to dress up and become beautiful because we lack that. We lack that all while we lose our hair, our eyelashes, our eyebrows, and all of that. And so this night, spotlight the beauty in it, the beautiful in knowing that you can make it. And so out of that, there was no turning back. God has allowed me to never look back. He has sustained me all of these years. And I thank God for that. I give him the glory for that because my family hasn't wanted for anything because I have stepped out on faith in knowing that he directs my path. No matter how dim the light may be, no matter what's going on in my life, I just had to learn to trust him that he's guiding me and he has directed my path.
And this is the time where, that's when your faith is tested. You know, it's great, just like almost with Job. Everything was wonderful with Job, and then, the devil went to God and told him, hey, okay, you got to take this protective hedge you have around it. Let's see if he really is praying and, let's test him. So I hear, hear what you're saying. Let me ask you a question. Let me make a statement. A couple of years ago, a lot of people gave Angelina Jolie a lot of flack because I think her family, she did the BRCA test, and she just, her mother died of breast cancer, so she said, I'm just going to go ahead and have a mastectomy. So, and she got a lot of flack, especially from women, which really I just could not understand. Not from the guys, but women were, complaining about her beauty. Now, most women, because society makes us feel we are not whole unless we have our breasts. We are defined by our breasts. That's why you see the implants and things like that. Did you have a mastectomy, number one? And can you speak briefly to someone out there who is thinking about or is told that she should have a mastectomy, but she's wrapped up in society and she is not a woman if she doesn't have a breast?
Yes. And so I did read the story, and I went into the surgeon office to do the same exact thing, but I was too late. I had always told my husband that I wanted to take those necessary precautions to have my breasts removed, but I was too late. But we as women are not defined by our breasts, and as long as you have someone that knows your struggle, knows your journey, and knows what you're facing, that really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Although I will add a light to the situation, I do love my new girls. I do love my new set, my new twins.
Yes. Yes.
I do love them. I do love them. Just to add a little light to the situation, I do love my girls, and I take very good care of my girls. But to the one that have decided not to, that doesn't make you any less of a woman. You know, we have some major breast cancer game-changing women that's in the community that opted not to do the same thing. And so, it's all in your decision. It should be nobody's decision but yours. So I encourage my ladies to make the decision. I never give them an option or suggest anything, because I don't want to live with knowing that I made that decision for them. So you do have the options. And I did have a double mastectomy. And also I had to have a full hysterectomy because what they don't tell you is that breast cancer, cervical cancer, ovarian cancer, and all of that stuff goes hand in hand. And so I've had some health scares over the last 6 years, and just decided to do that so that I can live for my family. Although I wasn't happy about it, but I just accepted what God had before me, and and then also just eating more healthy. God has the foundation to align with a phenomenal health and wellness organization. And so we will launch and release that coming up very soon. You have to email me for details. You know, we want to promote health and wellness and how we can take care of ourselves either before, while we're going through, or after. You know, and so with this announcement coming out soon, we will stand behind the products and be able to allow women to detox their body of chemotherapy drugs and radiation, and also, you know, possibly help other women in losing weight, five pounds in 5 days. And so I'm excited about what God has placed in front of me. And so we will make that announcement very shortly, and I'm excited about what God is doing for the foundation.
I am so proud of you to see, you know, the woman that you are and how you're giving back to the community. It's not just lip service. This is something because, again, as you mentioned, for those of you tuning in, we have Chantel Nixon-Clark, and she's sharing her breast cancer surgery. She's had a double mastectomy, and she doesn't look at her glasses half empty, is half full. She's very spiritual, and she's going back and helping people in the community. She's going back to help women because, as she said, she comes from a large family, and, you know, she wanted to have that one-on-one time with God. But while she was getting her treatment, she noticed that there were patients in, you know, while they were getting their treatments with no one around. And you do hear people talk about they're by themselves. Sometimes it's embarrassing to them because they feel that they don't want to come out and say, there's no one here with me. But you can see that they're either taking a cab mm-hmm. there or something. No one's there, mm-hmm. no one's sitting with them. So it's good to see that you use that time. That's why when you're in pain or you're going through the struggle, you can't stay in. You got to come out. You got to look at your surroundings. And I'm glad that you obeyed and realized that there were women hurting out there, you know, and you wanted mm-hmm. to do something about it. Now, my question to you is, what is the qualification to be a Pink Angel?
Well, we really want to keep it very simple. You have to be currently diagnosed, and you have to be currently going through the journey at the time of application. And it's only to, like I said, add value back into one's life. And we just want to eliminate some of the stresses that comes along with their journey. You know, we oftentimes can't work. We're not able to provide for our children. We're not able to keep food in our house. And so the mission and the vision of the Pink Angels Foundation is to minimize that stress. And so we listen first, and then we act after. And so we may have a lady that is a single mom, but she has three children. But her goal is to get her son to prom. And so we make that happen. Or you may have somebody that's struggling and don't have money for food, gas, or any of that. And so you make that happen. And then if they need rent assistance or utility assistance, we try to help that. But the foundation, I often tell people that the foundation is growing by leaps and bounds, and we often feel like the hamster running behind the hamster wheel because although God has placed favor, we also need supporters and donations as well. And so it limits us to be able to help everybody all year
right.
long. And so we try to limit those funds where we are able to do a little of something. But I know in due time, I just have the faith, in due time, none of that will be a worry. Everybody
right.
who will call shortly will be able to receive funds in any facet that they are needing.
Stephanie, I want to give you a question, and I'll ask you to address it in 1 minute. I definitely want to talk to Chantel about something. I want you to talk about why should someone want to be a part of Pink Angel, okay? That's what I want you to think about when I come back to you. Chantel, where do you see the Pink Angel Foundation in 5 years? Where would you like to see it?
I used to say nationwide, but I'm at work. That's too small. So global is too small. I am trying to leave a legend. You know, oftentimes people have concerns as to, you know, what organizations are doing with the funding or, you know, I will honestly say I am very transparent with all of the funds that come through the Pink Angels Foundation. And I say that only to say that I have not received a dime of any of the contributions that have come, yes, that have come through the Pink Angels Foundation, although I would love to, but as of right now, it does not allow me to. But global, most definitely, and to become more than a household name, but to be a readily available resource to each and every woman that is diagnosed with breast cancer.
You know, and that's, like I said, if there's anything that I can do, and I told you before, to help spread the word, because what you're doing is phenomenal. I want to address Stephanie. Stephanie?
Yes, ma'am.
Why should someone want to be a part of Pink Angel?
Uplifting. It is uplifting, and it's giving back. You know, if you didn't come from a big family to know what it means to depend on someone, being part of the Pink Angels, you can depend on us to be there for you. You know, I, too, seen those people at the hospital when I was getting my chemo with nobody. So to be there for someone is an ultimate gift. God said give. And so we have to give back and we have to love one another. So I think being a part of the Pink Angels, we set the tone of loving on each other. Strangers that we never knew that become family, that become a sister, a little sister, a big sister.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
She's telling, and I get it because, like I said, with my outreach center that I'm working with, that I'm volunteering, Loving Arms Cancer Outreach Center in Marietta, Georgia, there's a nurse, and she is the founder of this. Her name is, you know, Shay. She's just phenomenal. And when I go there every Tuesday, they're family. It's just, I can't explain it. It's inexplainable. Mm-hmm. It's just like we're family, we're fellowshipping, we're meditating, we're just doing amazing, amazing things. And I'm telling you, I don't care what I have on the schedule. I don't care if I can't leave the house. Tuesdays are the days that's meant for me. These women, they're doing more for me than I'm doing for them. Okay, and I try to explain that to them. So when we do, like, we massage the women, we have it's a luncheon, we fellowship, and, you know, do inspirational, motivational things. Each woman talk about their, you know, their diagnosis. It's not just a breast cancer outreach; it's a cancer outreach. So if someone, I can't explain what it does for me. It's just like I live for Tuesday. Next week's guest, we're going to have Adonna Flagg, and her company is called Lastix. And what I love about her company, she has a deodorant that's chemical-free. Everything is because she, you know, I tried it, and look, I sweat. I'm not even going to say I perspire when I go to the gym. I sweat. And it's organic, and it's good because, you know, you have to worry about the aluminum and all that stuff you're putting under your arms because they said that's a possibility of seeping into your skin and getting breast cancer. And, you know, I can't wait to get a hold of her next week. So I try to, like, tell people I wanted to try the product first, and it was really, really good. It comes in different, like, honeysuckle, and I'm trying to help her to, you know, get that out there for people who've had breast cancer just want to be organic, you know. So I'm definitely going to get her on the show next week. She'll be on next week, Wednesday at 8 o'clock, you know, Eastern Standard Time. So definitely tune in. But Chantel, my sister, and Stephanie, I want to thank you for being obedient and praying, being a prayful woman and praying up Chantel, supporting her, loving her. Thank you for being obedient in what you're doing, because in today's time, women are not doing that. We're not doing enough of it. And we need to lead by example. We're constantly telling other women they're not doing it, but we have to do it as well. You know it, I do it, and I'm glad that you're doing it. You're being obedient, because the more we pour back into Chantel, the more she'll be able to help everyone. You guys who are supporting her, if she stumbles, it's okay if she stumbles, but if she falls, that's your fault. So I'm glad that you're being obedient and you're doing whatever you can to take this to the next level, my sister Stephanie. I'm proud of you for doing what you're doing. From Women Are Worthy, Jackie Charles, thank you for doing what you're doing. Chantel, girl, you know how I feel about you. You're like my sister now. Okay, you ain't going to get rid of me, okay? I was going to say I'm like herpes, but I better not say that, okay? Because next thing I'm going to get emails. Okay, here's some cure for herpes, okay? I am the gift that keeps on giving. I ain't going nowhere. Yes. I so appreciate, again, you know what it's like finding your purpose, because that's how I feel whenever I do the show and I'm interviewing people. And from one queen to another, and you are a queen, so is Stephanie. I want to thank you for stepping out on faith. That's all I'm going to say.
And I thank you so much for allowing me this platform to be able to share my journey. And I just wanted to get some information out, if you don't mind, on how people can reach. Okay. God has blessed us with a partnership with Sam's Club, and so we have access to all of the Sam's Club in the state of Missouri, Illinois, and Kentucky. And so on September 9th, we will have mammogram bands on the Sam's Club on Manchester in St. Louis. And so regardless to insurance status or not, all they have to do is call the phone number, and that number is 314-747-7222. Again, it's 314-747-7222. And they can make an appointment to get a mammogram, and it's only 15 minutes to get that. Also, if you would like to contact the Pink Angels Foundation, we can be reached at 314-399-9152, 314-399-9152. We're on Facebook as the Pink Angels Foundation. We're on Instagram, Pink Angels STL. And if you would like more information on our upcoming announcement, you can email me at thepinkangelsfoundation@gmail.com. And I thank you. I love you. Keep praying for me. And keep me lifted up in anything. And thank you so much, and love you.
You're welcome, and what I'll be doing as well, whenever you have anything coming out, and especially with that thing with Sam's Club, if you have the flyer or something, give it to me, and I'll post it on my page so I can let people know that this is what they need to do.
Absolutely.
This is what I'm talking about. This is why I created this platform, so we can amplify the voices of women who are not necessarily heard. This, ladies, we have to collaborate. You cannot do things alone. Yes, you may be born in the world alone if you're not a twin, but we have to continue to support and help each other.
Absolutely.
So with that said, I want to thank everyone. Stephanie, you know, and Ms. Chantel Nixon Clark for basically telling us, sharing her journey with us. It was a private, you know, she took her, whatever happened with her, she decided to share it with us. And I want to thank her for doing that. Again, you know, she's the creator of the Pink Angels Foundation, and we have another Pink Angel on the phone, Ms. Stephanie. So with that said, I want to thank you, ladies. God bless you. And again, Chantel, I'm not
too.
A stranger, so I'll be around. So you guys have a wonderful evening. See you guys next Wednesday with Miss Donna Flagg regarding Lastics, and we're going to be talking about the stuff that she's created. Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend, and please be safe. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.